Revoice Podcast Network. The mic is ours.
Welcome back to the Bad Attitude Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Celentano, and today we're going to be going backwards. We'll hear a few words of wisdom from Rat Fight's early influences, pioneers of punk, the lead singers of Bad Brains, HR, Henry Rollins of Black Flag, and Ian McKay of Fugazi. Episode 2, PMA, Positive Mental Attitude. When you see someone losing their mind on stage, positivity may not be the first word that comes to mind.
That we wanted to try to give an alternative and unify the people. And yes, we can make a change if we're unified, as opposed to just saying, you know, this is screwed up and that's screwed up, and that's just the way it is. I think that was the difference initially in our message. And, you know, just being positive as opposed to destructive.
Like, everywhere else, like, punk rock was, like, connected to nihilism, like, to destruction. And actually, we heard PMA sort of saying, like, we're making something, we're building something.
Does that subculture kind of create a lot of judgment or animosity, you know, with the subtleties, you know, between the bands? Like, in the styles, or is that encapsulated with the, like you said, maybe some of the commercial aspects as well?
I mean, if you're going out seeing a live show and really giving a shit about like what genre, what box they fit into, then you're not enjoying the music, and you're not, honestly, it's not a very punk attitude in my mind.
Yeah, I think subgenres can get really ridiculous. Like, I definitely sometimes will jokingly like be like describing something as the most niche way possible, but like at the end of the day, it's a punk band, or it's a rock band, or it's a, you know, whatever. It's like we don't need to, people can put us in whatever box they want, but I would just say we're a punk band.
Well, my threat, we're playing a game of chicken. This game of chicken is where we ride our vehicle as long as we can and jump off before we sell out.
So we've heard how ideologies create communities within a barren wasteland. But at the same time, the subcultures they spawn can sometimes contradict the reason they were created in the first place. The generation, you know, coming up is in even more danger with the effects of social media and stuff. And you wonder, you know, how does that make you guys feel about the generations coming after you? And does that make you guys fearful and maybe a little more motivated maybe to even try to send a message to younger people and say, hey, you know, maybe not just get off the phone, but, you know, at least be aware of the effects that social media can have?
Yeah, I think like we slip it in sometimes, but like I don't like doing it. Yeah, we're really bad at it.
Bands move from trying to make good music to trying to just post a good reel or a TikTok or something. Then that very much loses authenticity.
Like, you can go on and be marketable and do all this, but if you're not coming from a genuine place of like, I'm feeling this music, this is like, I feel this deeply, and just putting it all out there, then it starts to lose a bit of the genuine feeling.
Despite negativity surrounding us in most corners of our society, the message hasn't been entirely lost for the generations to follow. Something to be said about sticking to your guns, even if you're holding onto a blade of grass to keep from falling off the earth.
I think all of us, especially when we first started coming together, I think the name Fugazi was brought up 100 times at every single time we would hang out.
All through their life, you know, all through their school, you're brought up and they tell you all about people who created this and created that. You've been given a great, you know, everything you want. An accepted social scene, you know, the whole alcohol thing, an accepted music scene, it's all there for you.
I think Fugazi, for me specifically, on top of, you know, just amazing music, I just loved the fact that they always rejected being a commercial band. They never once made merch. They refused to play shows where the door price was over a certain amount. And I just always loved that because in a, you know, the arts, music specifically, is just so bastardized, for lack of a better word, for just everybody to make a buck and, you know, like Ticketmaster fees and stuff like that. And I think it's just nice to see a band that says, that we just want to play music and we want people to hear it. We want people to have fun. We don't care about getting rich off of this.
And I'm not trying to convert. I'm not into like selling. It seems disgusting to me that someone that would sell something that supposedly means so much to you.
My wife just told me the other day that her uncle Matt was a roadie for Fugazi. That's back awesome. In, I guess it was the, he's about, so mid-80s maybe or something like that.
So cool.
Yeah, and he just, well, I think he was probably like early 20s or something. But yeah, I should ask him about that sometime. So
I'm sure that was the life.
At Madame Zorgan, remember standing in front of the Bad Brains one night with HR so close I could smell his breath. And I said, I sure hope that guy doesn't land on me. Wham! I'm on my back with HR pinning me to the ground, singing on me. I was like, ah! Whoa! And that was kind of the start of my life.
I wanted to ask you guys about some conspiracy theories. Is there one that sticks out to you?
I don't think this is like a hot take or like a unique take at all, but I've always been a big alien guy. Mm-hmm. They have the aliens. Also, not really a conspiracy theory, but we are living in an increasingly police state.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which you say that around some people and they'll look at you like you're crazy, but it's true. Yeah.
Their phones are listening to us.
Yes. Hello, officer.
I had to turn my Siri off. I was surprised to find out when I moved here a while back for my first run, and I found out about this hardcore thing that everybody was sober but attacking people, where you feel really close with the people you're with and everything over that shared trauma and sort of violence. So it's interesting how the sobriety, it's not the sobriety that brings out the violence, but it is. Yeah. It's a odd combination that I was really surprised by. What do you think that is? Where's that coming from?
I think it's that people don't give themselves room to be human and need an outlet, and then they take that outlet out on people who are just trying to have a good time, have a beer with their friends, and they look at that and they're like, actually, I'm better than you. Fuck you. Don't drink around me. And it's just like, it's not that deep. We're all human. Everybody needs a way to take the edge off. For some people, it's drinking. For some people, it's smoking. For some people, it's playing in a band. Whatever it is, you shouldn't take it out on somebody else because you don't want to give yourself that outlet.
Just the whole thing about when you become, why I became a punk or whatever, and when I became a punk was to escape all the just the bullshit that, you know, the social scene of high school and just the typical normal stuff. And here I thought that I was like, you know, because I had become a punk, that I was like, you know, we're all so much above it now, and, you know, that we had to deal with it. And all of a sudden, I realized that, you know, that social scene is the punk scene now, and that it's all caught up to me anyway, you know. And that even though I thought I was escaping it the whole time, I wasn't. It was there the whole time anyway, just a different shape. Sort of like a bitter realization, you might say, you know, tapped me on the back.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bad Attitude Podcast. Created by me, your host, Danny Celentano, our editor, Brett Coleman, and our producer, Abby DeCandia, and as a segment of the Revoice Network. Please give us a review and download the show. And if you enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to check out more podcasts on the Revoice Network.